Welcome to the UK's only radio show about HIV and living a healthy life. It's the HIV Hour. On today's show, we feature a rundown of the latest news and talking points about living with HIV from the Brighton area and the world at large. Also, information on Brighton's HIV organisations and some other events. Do email us at hivhour@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @HIV_hour and Instagram at @HIVHour. If you miss the show on a Thursday at 7 p.m, then you can listen again at 4 p.m. on Monday and at noon on Tuesday, or indeed catch up with an older show by going to the Listen Again page on RadioReverb.com.
Good evening, everyone. One and all.
Good evening.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Stephen. Hi, hey. Josh.
How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Just as I say every week, keep plodding on and keep going.
Plodding on.
Still do what we're doing virtually, but
yes.
Hey ho.
We're getting there, all those analogies.
Yes, we are. We are.
How about you, Stephen?
I feel like I say the same thing every week. It's just busy and just, but everything just seems to have started and is happening and is, so it all seems a bit like I kind of want to crawl under my quilt sometimes and just, but it's just because we're having to get used to it again, aren't we? That way of going into the office or going to meetings or going, you know, it's a bit scary, but it's good. It is good.
Yeah. I think it's going to take a while for that transition. I think it's going to.
Yeah.
It's not just going to, when July, if you go back to normal on July 19th, I don't think we'll just go back into all that. Everything's fine. I think it's going to take a while.
No, it's going to be, like you said, guys, it's going to be a long transition. Because the thing is, we got so used to not doing what we're doing differently, and now we've been doing something very differently for quite a long time. So, are we going to meet up? Or what are we going to do when we meet up in the office? And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
I think be kind to yourself.
Yes, definitely. And yeah, don't try and overburden you, because I've had to say, now, come on, pull yourself, not necessarily pull yourself together, but come on, you know, because I'm thinking, starting to feel pressurised, starting to feel overwhelming. And I'm sure loads and loads of people are thinking the same, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like you said, be kind.
So, what's on the show? We've got a good show today, and we've got a few things. We're having a bit of a chat today.
We have. We've got some good discussions. We're going to we're going to be doing them live in the virtual world. How about that?
Virtually live.
Virtual live. Gosh.
Yeah, so you've got a story, haven't you, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about MAD. And for those that don't know, MAD is the Make a Difference Trust, and they've been an amazing trust, you know, for the theatre community, educating, getting funds for HIV since the early 90s. So I'm going to do a little piece on them.
I had my blood results today, so, and I think it's time that I'm having a few issues. So we're talking about changing my medication. So I think we're going to have a little chat about that, aren't we, and how that feels, because we've all gone through it, haven't we?
Absolutely.
I'm sure listeners have as well.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, definitely. Also, we have a story, it's an old story, it's a couple of weeks old, actually, about some HIV activists, including Elton John and Gareth Thomas, who've written an open letter to Boris Johnson about tackling the new AIDS emergency. So, yeah, they've written a letter to him when the G7 was on. So,
Good.
I'm just wondering if they're going to be taking that literally to number 10 or sending it. Normally, you know, they do these things. And in the olden days when we used to be able to go, they used to sort of take things and knock on the door of number 10. And they used to make quite a big issue of it. But I don't know how that's going to be done. So.
Yeah, well, I looked to see if there's any updates on that, but there didn't seem to be any updates on it. So whether Boris is, I don't know. Yeah,
well, there's probably quite a lot of stuff going on in the cabinet at the moment, isn't there?
Yes, probably.
one thing going on and what have you. Yeah.
Yes.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
So welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM. So we talked about medication, and I went to the doctor's yesterday, and I had my bloods done, and you know, your 6 monthly check or yearly check, and my there was some things going wrong, happening with my bloods and my urine, so they decided that it's time for me to change my medication. So I've been on my medication for quite a while now, the same regime for a while. I don't know about you two.
Yeah, I had a change as well, Josh, a few years ago. One of the meds was affecting my kidneys, so they took me off that. But it was a bit, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Because you get used to being on a med for a number of meds for a deal of time. So it's, as somebody that's done it, it wasn't too bad to change onto a new med, and at least I know the one that I'm on now isn't doing any damage to my kidneys anymore. So it kind of,
Did you feel better when you, because did you realize how, were you feeling unwell or something before you changed?
Well, see, that's the thing for me. I wasn't feeling unwell. So when they said to me, your kidneys aren't processing properly, I was like, I was quite surprised, you know, so I didn't have any signals or signs. So, I couldn't really answer that because I wasn't aware of anything.
Right. Yeah.
That's so right what you said. That one of the things that are so beautiful about our services that we get being HIV positive in the UK is the fantastic consultants we have, HIV specialists and pharmacists. You know, and we go for those regular checkups, don't we, guys? Those blood tests and things can be detected earlier on. And if we think about it, because it is quite a daunting thing. You know, I've just recently changed, I think we had a conversation off air, didn't we, Josh? I've just recently changed my medication, and that was to do, I was diagnosed with something called osteopenia about 3 years ago, and I went on and I started, we sort of went into talks about changing the new medication. Now, I've never had any change of medication, so even, you know, I felt quite daunted, you know, my medication is working well, that there was nothing, you know, that I could see. I mean, it was personal choice why I've changed. I mean, this new medication I've gone on is particularly better for my bones. Mm-hmm. I mean, and think about it, how amazing is that, you know, that the research on better, more sustainable medication, because don't forget, we have to take this medication for the duration of our lifespan. So, you know, things that the new medications are coming on are going to be better for us. But it's not easy. People think, oh, just change your medication. It's not as simple as that.
Because you might not get on with it. You might not interact well with it, which you know, can happen. I think I've had a few combinations, and I've got just one that I didn't interact well with. So that was at the very beginning, actually. So, I mean, the majority of them have been okay, and I've tolerated quite well. So, I think it's just change, sorry, Steve. It's just changing, isn't it? It's just changing that regime when you're used to something.
I was the same as you, Josh. My very first med that I went on, I was terrible. I was dizzy spells, kept fainting, everything. So I was quite scared of what they were going to put me on next, but it was amazing that I went from this drug that was just not suited to me at all, onto a med that was great for me, you know. So it's great that we've got choice, isn't it? Such a difference from how it was. So it's great we have choice.
Mm-hmm. And we have such great support, and as you say, with the doctors and down in Brighton, the Lawson unit, which is, you know, and they're on the ball, actually, straight, you know, it's great. So
But, you know, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, there's lots of things going on on at the moment about aging with HIV. And as we've spoken about before, Brighton has the largest aging population with people living with HIV, bigger than London, believe it or not. So,
is it? Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
So, you know, and the thing is, this is a news flash for anyone that didn't know, we are living longer living with HIV. And the reason for that is because of this fantastic medication we have and the better medication that is going to come along. So, but it's still a daunting feeling. It's that, you know, and if we look at, you know, some of the reasons why people don't stick to their regime, which is incredibly important, and some people do need help and support taking that medication because it's not that easy. It's the fear of the side effects, it's the fear of perhaps still taking that medication in front of people and planning the times. It can be quite overwhelming, and especially if you let's say, you know, this is a better medication, we'd like to advise you to take it, you think, oh, but everything's working, but it's happened to go back to the drawing board again in sort of planning that medication, planning for those possible side effects, which I did with my new medication. I had banging headaches for a week. And then he came off. I thought, what's going on? I don't get no side effects. But now it's subsided. And that's the fantastic beauty of it. They've all subsided. And you know what? The great thing is, it's one of my favourite colours, lilac.
There you go.
You know, I'd try and turn it into a positive, Stephen.
Yeah.
Smashing your headphones. So.
I know.
Just to let the listeners know, Sue's wearing lilac headphones. Something I found out today, which I should have known really, but I got diagnosed in 2002, but I didn't start medication until 2007. So that's 5 years. I knew that I had HIV, but I didn't go on to medication for 5 years. So that shocks me, even though I kind of knew in the back of my mind, that shocks me I didn't do that. And I think it's because at the time my partner at the time told me, oh, don't tell anyone, which was not good advice at all. But also because I was working in the barbershop, I was quite out there. And if I saw someone in the clinic that might have cut their hair or something, then that kind of stopped me from doing it. So all those things kind of, interesting to see that.
But if you think back, say even 5-10 years ago, the advisement of taking medication is when your levels got to a certain level. That has completely changed now. Yep. You know, you're diagnosed with HIV and within days, 24 hours, you're given medication. They want to get you to that undetectable, as quickly as possible. So everything has changed, you know, where, you wait till your levels, you know.
But I pushed it away. I think that's the thing. I actually didn't want to deal with it, and I didn't want to. And advice, obviously, from people and one person.
I did the same, Josh. Yeah,
did you?
Yeah. I was diagnosed in 2006, but didn't go on meds till 2009. Right. But again, like you say, Sue, it wasn't all my choice. A lot of it was the doctor saying, you don't need to be on meds. You know, your levels are above 200, you know. It's amazing, isn't it, how so much has changed.
That's changed, definitely.
And just something perhaps some of the listeners might not know, and perhaps, guys, you may not know either. We spend more money on investing into better sustainable medication than what we do on a cure. But don't get shocked if you think about that. That is quite, you know, because that we believe, you know, with the medication we're taking, what we're going to sort of, as I say, you know, bring an end to HIV transmission and, you know, by 2030. But we do actually spend more money on medication, because if you think about it, you know, for reasons why I've just changed mine because of long-term medication and my bone density has been affected and what have you, and different things that are happening, or you know, so, but yeah,
we are very lucky in this country to be able to have this kind of support and medication, aren't we, because a lot of places more countries don't have that, do they? So,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should we have a track?
Should we?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll keep you posted anyway. With
yes, yeah. Do. Do. Ever get any. Do. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. And you've got Sue, myself, good old Josh, and the lovely Stephen.
Just to follow on from what we talked about before the track, if anyone's, we are very lucky to be in the UK to get medication as we do, but mm-hmm. other countries don't have that.
Accessibility, that. Yeah, accessibility, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in some of the Eastern European countries, which, you know, we know there's issues and problems still out there with being gay. Not even, yeah. you know, yeah. so yeah. We I think we're all aware of that. So, we're just thinking, Josh, that, you know, we'd perhaps like to perhaps feature some stories and some, you know, what's going on from yeah. perhaps people that are from those countries, from those cities, you know, be interesting and be great to perhaps to contact the HIV Hour to get you on. You can do it anonymously, you know. We
absolutely don't have
to,
yeah.
That's really yeah. important to say.
Yes, it is.
We'd love to have you on. How can yeah. they contact us again, Josh?
So the email is hiv@gmail.com. Oh, there's the Twitter page, which is HIV_hour. So you've got a good story, Stephen.
Yeah, well, kind of following on from what I was speaking about last week, with the guys from That Fest, and what they're doing, I wanted to mention Theatre Mad. And anybody that doesn't know, Theatre Mad is the Make a Difference Trust. And basically, they were set up in the 90s, early 90s, and their sole purpose was to support the theatre community and those suffering the devastating effects of living and losing loved ones to HIV and AIDS, because obviously it was 1990, it was very different. And in that time, the theatre community lost so many wonderful performers and people backstage, you know. So Theatre Mad was there to try and raise funds and support and care for them. And, you know, in 1 year alone, they made grants totaling almost £250,000, you know. So, wow. And they did, I saw a number of shows done by the Make a Difference Trust, you know, from Michael Ball to so many different people, you know, big stage performers. But obviously, HIV and AIDS has changed, as we were saying earlier. You know, it's not the same as it was in 1990. And then the theatre community got hit with COVID. So mm-hmm. It was really difficult for Theatre Mad and for the Make a Difference Trust to do events, because that's how they made their money. So in the last couple of months, they've decided that they are going to close their doors, which is really sad. Oh. It's really sad for the theatre community. It's really sad for the HIV community. It's really sad for all those people that worked so hard with all those amazing different productions, you know, and the wonderful West End stars we had, like Michael Ball, Imelda Staunton, Brian May, you know, just to name a few. But saying that, you know, That Fest is starting and hopes to kind of carry on that you know, that story in a slightly different way, you know, because obviously HIV is something different than it was in 1990. So I just wanted to shout out really to the Make a Difference Trust and just say thank you, you know, definitely from me as a performer, but definitely from, I know so many people, and not even just performers, but people that have come to see Theatre Mad shows, you know, have loved them over the years. So it's sad to say goodbye to them, but, you know, it's understandable that they couldn't continue to do events in the current climate. So it's kind of sad news, but you know, they've gone out on a high, you know. In last year, you know, they supported 50 16th Street, they supported the theatre community to self-fund self-testing kits. They did peer support. They did bought fridges for people to store their meds in. All over the world, you know, here and in sub-Saharan Africa. So they've done a heck of a lot, you know. So it's with great pride, you know. We say goodbye to them, and thank you for everything that they have done.
I'm just thinking a fabulous legacy.
Exactly.
For people to be thinking, you know, this is what some people can do, coming together and making a difference. And they obviously did make a fantastic difference over those years. So,
It's so important, isn't it, community?
Mm. Yeah, Mm. You don't know what might emerge from that either. So,
well, exactly, new
ventures. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Brilliant.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.
So this is an article in the Pink News. It's about Elton John, who's leading many HIV activists, urging Boris Johnson to tackle the new AIDS emergency. So in an open letter, Elton John and people like Gareth Thomas, Annie Lennox, Charlize Theron, former President Joyce Banda of Malawi, and Festus Mogga, I hope I got that right, of Botswana, they all warned Boris Johnson in this letter that critical gains are in danger when it comes to the progress of HIV and AIDS during the coronavirus pandemic. In the letter, it read, the COVID-19 crisis has shut down many HIV prevention and treatment services in many countries literally overnight. Also, it had cut off millions of girls from schools, driven up poverty, gender-based violence and human rights violations. All these factors increases people's risk of acquiring HIV or developing AIDS. There's been a steep increase in rates of adolescent pregnancy, which could mean a surge in HIV infections too. Research has shown that HIV service delivery had fallen by 41% across 502 health facilities in Africa and Asia. So also the World Health Organization were concerned of the number of new HIV infections and AIDS-related deaths, which may climb due to the disruption to HIV treatment across the world during the pandemic. At its peak, the AIDS pandemic slashed life expectancy in some countries by 20 years and killed off a generation of people, claiming 35 million lives. Combined with the coronavirus crisis, a resurgent AIDS emergency could be catastrophic, they say. These dangers are real, but can be overcome through smart global action. So the G7 summit, which was in the middle of June, was a vital opportunity to rally the world to act together. So the activists called on Johnson and other global leaders to fully resource the G7 commitment to end HIV by 2030 and reverse the funding cuts to UNAIDS. They said that these cuts not only directly hamper the worldwide fight against AIDS, putting 38 million people living with HIV at risk, they also damage UK reputation. So this is really a one to watch, actually, and I think because of COVID, that's just consumed our lives. So some countries that have struggled with combating COVID as well. So you can understand why some of them might suffer with regard to HIV treatment and prevention. So hopefully this will gather momentum and, we'll want to watch.
Just like to talk to you about some of the services at the Sussex Beacon in Brighton, and most specifically about the Women and Family Support, which is amazing up there. They provide services for women living with HIV, affected family members and fathers living with HIV in Sussex. Now, they offer casework, group work and peer support to women living with HIV and their families. They do have a monthly group, particularly for women, and has been successfully running for the last 9 years. The Sussex Beacon also works closely with other HIV clinics and community teams, as well as within the Lawson unit, which is the Sunflower Clinic for Women, which is a specialist clinic dedicated to providing a confidential and supportive clinic for women living with HIV. It allows you to access to a doctor, nurse, health advisor and a women's caseworker from the Sussex Beacon, all at one appointment. You can contact the Sussex Beacon or the Lawson unit for further information or to book an appointment. And just going back to the monthly women's group they have at the Sussex Beacon, throughout the pandemic, they were doing very successfully Zoom meetings. But I do believe they are coming back to face-to-face at the Sussex Beacon. So just to make sure that this monthly group is for women living with HIV in the Sussex area. It's facilitated safe and confidential space to explore issues related to living with HIV. They have many times where they have guest speakers who are regularly invited to present and explore special interested topics. Examples of previous groups include aging with HIV, HIV within the family, and ways of coping with stress. Now, the great thing is the group offers a creche, which is really, really handy. And they provide a super healthy lunch, so I'm told. If you want to get in contact with the Sussex Beacon, a bit more information about all of the services at the Sussex Beacon or the family support women's group, you can just contact the Sussex Beacon on 01273 694 222 or just email info@sussexbeacon.org.uk.
Radio Reverb.
So it's the community news this week. First up is Lunch Positive, which is an amazing organisation here in Brighton. It provides a lunch for people with and affected by HIV. Everyone is welcome. They know that coming to something new can sometimes feel uncertain, and they want to do everything to make people feel supported, and they can help you along to the lunch club. You can call them before you visit, actually, your first visit, and they'll explain what happens and what to expect, and they'll answer any of your questions that you might have. So that's on every Friday between 12 noon and 3 p.m. Up on Dorset Gardens. You can get in touch with them in advance by calling 07846 464 384. Or you can contact them on their website contact form, which is at lunchpositive.org. Give it a go. It's fantastic. It's £1.50 for the lunch, which is the donation that goes to buying the food. But if you're having financial difficulty, then have a chat with them and they can sort something out. So another great project that Lunch Positive are doing is the befriending service, forging friendships and making new connections. They're thrilled to be working in partnership with local befriending charity Together Co, providing a befriending scheme for people living with HIV in Brighton and Hove and East and West Sussex. The scheme will match people with HIV with a like-minded volunteer to develop supportive, enjoyable and fulfilling friendships. It's a safe and supportive project together with the highest regard for confidentiality, and they'll be looking to match people based on similar interests and needs of the scheme members. It depends on what people decide they want to do, and that can range from just going for a chat, meeting in a cafe, occasional practical support. It's whatever you want to do. So due to the COVID pandemic, friendships and conversation will initially be phone-based rather than in person, and that's until the government guidelines change. So if you're interested and you want to take the first step, scheme is open to anyone living with HIV who is also aged over 50 and based in Brighton and Hove. And as Sue said earlier in the show, that Brighton and Hove has one of the largest ageing populations in the country. So it's really important and just good to have that in the city. If you'd like to find out more about the scheme and how it works, and you want to be matched with a volunteer or become a volunteer yourself, you can get in touch with them again, lunchpositive.org or 07846 464 384. So here's some news from Peer Action. They've got an event announcement. They're pleased to announce that from Tuesday, the 6th of July, their amazing yoga sessions with Alistair will be delivered in person and online simultaneously, which is great news. The time of the session is 6 till 7. And the venue is St George's Crypt, St George's Church. That's on St George's Road in Kemp Town. The fee for both venue and online attendance is now £5 per session. That's fantastic value. To attend future sessions, payment will have to have been made online in advance. So you can contact them, treasurer@peeraction.net for details. And we'll confirm your payment and your place.